Want your boss to put some real action behind the rhetoric when they talk about making your workplace more inclusive? Find out how to hold their feet to the fire to demand diversity on the Diversity Dude Podcast with Reg Clark.
Welcome back to the Diversity Dude Podcast. Last week, I took the week off because the events that happened prior on January 6th had me a little upset and discombobulated. But this week, thanks to it being Martin Luther King Day weekend and Monday being the holiday, his birthday was actually yesterday, Friday, January 15th, but it's celebrated and observed on Monday, which we call a day of service. It's evolved. I felt like it was imperative to do a podcast and talk about, you know, the dream and how far have we come in the dream. How has this dream been realized? Are we still in the motion of realizing it? And as I always do, I'm going to tie it back to inclusion and the importance of inclusion. So let's really look at this whole idea of, in quick history, and I'm a history buff. I love history. I think it's important that everybody understands history so that we don't take things for granted. But the Martin Luther King holiday was first signed into law in 1983. But it wasn't observed until 3 years later in 1986. So again, when we talk about a dream deferred, and it wasn't until the year 2000 that it was actually recognized by all 50 states. So it took 17 years for this holiday to actually be recognized by all 50 states. To me, that's the definition of a dream deferred, as you know, talked about by Langston Hughes in his short poem titled Harlem. So if you ever get a chance, check out that poem called Harlem by Langston Hughes, and it talks about the dream deferred. Every year when we talk about Martin Luther King, it seems like we just scratched the surface of who he was and what he stood for. It seems like we always talk about his I Have a Dream speech, and there was so much more depth to the man. Not only did he have a dream, but he had a vision. He had a passion. And it seems like we don't ever really get past a very topical conversation of the I Have a Dream speech. So this year, what I would love for everybody to do, if you can't get out and do a day of service, do something, do an in-service for yourself. Get more intimate with the sermons and the speeches of Dr. King. And you can do that simply by, you can put it in the Googler and find a lot of his speeches. You can search on YouTube and actually hear his voice as he delivers some of these speeches. There's the kinginstitute.stanford.edu that you can also go on and learn a little bit more about, you know, his speeches. My personal favorite would be to tell you to get the book. There's a book called The Gift of Love, Sermons from Strength to Love and Other Preachings. And I think what's fantastic about this book is that it actually includes a foreword by Raphael Warnock. Yes, the Dr. Raphael Warnock, who is now the senator, one of the senators from Georgia, Democratic senator. So he's one of the individuals that flipped the state of Georgia from red to blue. So it's now a Democratic state. So I think in some ways we can look at it and say, wow, that is part of the dream being realized, that this individual who happens to preach at the very same church, Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, that Dr. King did, is now has flipped the state to a Democratic state that hadn't been that way since the year 2000. So again, this year I really want us to really look at and examine how far or how much of the dream has been realized. Again, history is important. I think when we learn about history, we get it, we understand it, and we can begin to put things into context. So I know this is going to sound elementary, but I'm going to do it anyway. So 1865, everybody knows that was the 13th Amendment abolishing slavery. 1868 was the 14th Amendment that talked about the equal protection under the law for all people. Now, I'm going to say this, and people are going to fact check me on this, and I hope you do. In 1870, the 15th Amendment actually banned racial discrimination in voting. So 1870, so we're talking 151 years ago, that in theory, everybody should have been able to vote, well, except for women, and that's another discussion, equally important discussion, but it's another discussion. So for African Americans, you know, it was supposed to be no racial discrimination in voting at all for African Americans or any other group. 1964 was the actual Civil Rights Act that outlawed racial discrimination in employment. 1965 in March was the Bloody Sunday in Selma, Alabama, when John Lewis, rest in peace, rest in power, who passed away last year, led a march across the Pettus Bridge, and they were actually asking for voting rights protection. So, you know, you look at 95 years later, they had to cross a bridge and they had to ask that their voting rights be protected and that they outlaw certain things like literary tests or poll taxes or the grandfather clause that was used to legally keep people from voting, especially African Americans, keep them from voting by instituting these certain things that they did that were on the surface, they looked like they were equitable, but they were really disproportionately impacting people of color who wanted to vote. Now, the interesting thing, and I'm going to tie this into today's events too, the interesting thing about Bloody Sunday was that these black marchers were peacefully crossing a bridge to ask for voting rights protection, not the right to vote, because in theory we already had the right to vote, but we were asking for protection of those rights that were granted 95 years earlier. And there was a gentleman, a sheriff by the name of Bull Connor, and his hate for people of color created a mob scene where a bunch of individuals showed up and they protested these people that were peacefully demonstrating going across a bridge. And it became known as Bloody Sunday because at that point, that's the event where John Lewis, again, rest in peace, had his skull fractured by police batons. So again, in 1965, so are we realizing the dream? Are we getting to it? In May of 1965, President Lyndon Johnson passed the Voters' Rights Act. So that right there, that march was successful. And part of that was what Dr. Martin Luther King had been fighting for. So not only did he fight for the Civil Rights Act of 1964, but he was also a stalwart in helping advance the cause for voting right protection. So if we fast forward all the way up to November 2020, 150 years after the initial 15th Amendment that banned racial discrimination in voting, we see that with the help of Stacey Abrams, that black people actually came out and they used their right to vote to make a difference. So they came out in droves and they made a decisive difference in this election. So had it not been for that galvanizing of the black vote, this outcome may have been different. Now, I'm not talking politics. I'm really talking about the history of the things that have gone on. And so when we look at November 2020 and the fact that individuals showed up to vote, individuals of color showed up to vote, on January 6th, we noticed a dynamic that I would say is probably equal to the resistance that happened on March 7th, 1965 at the Pettus Bridge. And that was that mob of individuals that showed up. And what they were really angry about when they showed up at the Capitol building in Washington, D.C., was they were mad about 30 million black votes. So it's funny because as much as we want to believe that the dream has been realized, that we've made some gain, it's almost like, you know, one step forward, two steps back, that you had these individuals come up and say, those votes should not have been counted. Those votes should not have been allowed. Those black votes, to be specific, should not have been included. And had it not been for those black votes, then we'd have a different president at this point. So I said that because I want to say, you know, as much as we want to believe that we're making progress, let's really look at it and let's really challenge ourselves in this upcoming year. For Martin Luther King Day, let's really examine how much progress have we made. That event that happened on January 6th, where they're essentially protesting the black votes that got counted legally, something that happened 150 years earlier and finally came to fruition that blacks were able to use a vote is interesting. But on January 6th, those people, mostly white people, who charged the Capitol building, who were what some people would call an insurrection, sedition, that group included, and we know this, it included police officers, elected officials, and I'm guessing, I'm imagining that it also included people from all kind of backgrounds, like healthcare professionals, business owners, bankers, supervisors, managers, people who can make life-changing decisions that impact others' livelihoods or their well-being or their freedom. So when I think about that, I think it's not just enough to simply terminate those individuals as they're being identified. So if it's a business or if you are part of a corporation or if you live in a town where an officer was identified as being there, then what we should really be doing is not just asking for termination. We should be looking at every professional decision that they make that impact people of color. So if it's a police officer, we should be wanting to see what their arrest records were, you know, any brutality case, any excessive force case. If it's a healthcare professional, we should want to look at mortality rates, reinfection rates, anything that would have a disproportionate impact on people of color, because these individuals have demonstrated that they don't think of people of color as being equal. So if you're a supervisor, if it was a supervisor or a manager who was engaged in that insurrection, in that act of sedition. And I also wonder, what about the employment decisions that they make on behalf of other people, on behalf of an organization, and how does that impact people of color? How many times have people been denied promotions or job opportunity in general? And we know, and I've talked about it in previous podcasts, how people like the likes of the CEO from Wells Fargo said, you just can't find these people out there. You know, in my mind, he may not have been there in person at the Capitol, but in my gut, I feel like he was there in spirit. And I'm sure that a lot of us work around people that they may not have been there in person at the Capitol, but in our gut, we feel like, yeah, they're there in spirit. They're actually there at that event. So really, we want to look at not just the fact that the people were there, but let's look at their professional records and the impact that they had. Because to me, January 6th was not unlike looking at the Klan, except with the robes taken off, with the hoods taken off, because these people were angry and they're upset. And these are probably the direct descendants, direct relatives of those individuals that were protesting the Pettus Bridge March, the peaceful Pettus Bridge March. So this year, what I'm really asking everybody to do for Martin Luther King Day and for the rest of the year is, hey, get really acquainted, get more intimate with his sermons, his speeches, and the impact that they had. Get beyond just the I Have a Dream speech, which is an awesome speech, by the way. I don't want to discount that. but get beyond that one. One of my favorite speeches of all time is the Drum Major Instinct. And there's so many reasons. I don't have enough time to go into it, but the Drum Major Instinct is a great speech that I think a lot of people should take the time to listen to. But I challenge everybody to come up with their own speech and their own reasons and rationale for having that be their favorite speech. Also this year, I really want you to examine how far your organization has come on their journey to inclusion. What are the milestones that your organization would be able to tout? What appreciable gains have they made in the organization? And then it can't just simply be based around this mythological diversity calendar. And everybody knows what the diversity calendar is. It says that February is Black History Month, March is Women's Month, June is Pride Month, and so on and so forth. So it's great that organizations acknowledge the calendar, but how does that lead to the realization of the dream? How does that bring about true inclusion? It's great that you celebrate diversity, but how do you incorporate inclusion? And so that's really, in my mind, in my spirit, when I think about Martin Luther King, he was really working for us to be included, for us to have a seat at the table, for us to recognize equality at its best. And so this year, I hope that along with your day of service and your good deeds, that you take time to sit down with a friend or a family member and really learn more about Dr. King through his speeches, through his letters, and through the things that he really said. And then take that and go forth and do more to advance the dream.
Tune in each week as Reg Clark shows you how to demand and implement diversity and inclusion at your job. To hear more, check out his previous shows on ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com.